Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Faith on the Road to Success. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We talk about success on this program because most of us have gone through our lives and never taken a course on success. Success is a part of our DNA. And what we have to do is we have to get in touch with that reality. God created us, and he created us with what we need. We sometimes feel beat down. We sometimes feel that we can't get from here to there. But these are figments of our imagination. And we sometimes put artificial barriers in it. We sometimes believe that in order to achieve success, we have to have degrees behind our name. And this is not true. We sometimes believe that these degrees mark our level of intelligence, and that is definitely wrong. Because we are born with innate abilities. We are born with the ability to study, to improve ourselves, to set a direction, to set our guidance, and to move forward. This program is for everyone, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of height, regardless of weight, your waist size, your chest size, none of that makes any difference. And yet and still, we have so many people that are pursuing those intangible things that are maybe beyond our control, or maybe they are not. But we have to determine where we're going. We have that ability. We have seen through the ages many people without degrees come up with very, very successful careers. Now, what does that mean? What is success to you? Is it making the light bulb? Light bulb's already been made. But guess what? Many people have made their mark with the light bulb. How? Because when Thomas Edison made the light bulb, he was not the first. People had crude forms of a light bulb. But guess what? They didn't work very long. They burned out. And he made a vacuum, put gases in it, used different metals in it until he developed something that would perform and perform well for an extended period of time. Some light bulbs can last years. Some of them, not so much. But now, you think that we have done everything that we can. Many of you are too young to remember when light bulbs were hot. I mean hot. My son almost asphyxiated himself. What do I mean by that? He almost caused his own demise. Because he loved to read. And when lights were out, or he was supposed to be in bed sleeping, you had to be very careful because sometimes he would be under the covers with a lamp. And to avoid detection of the lamp, he would take the shade off. One night he fell asleep, and the heat from that light bulb through the carpet burned through the pad and scorched the wood underneath. Had we not caught him, he would probably have asphyxiated because carpet burns with toxic fumes, so do pads. The wood itself, without the lack of fresh air, could have caused his demise. What we see now are brighter lights using less electricity. These are major accomplishments in my mind. Because what Edison had developed was, in essence, a heat source that gave off light. It filled the bill for what's there. But so many products can be improved, beyond our wildest dreams. I'm old enough. I remember when most people in our neighborhood did not have a television. It was expensive, and most people could not afford one. I remember Friday nights. Friday night was fight night, boxing matches. I'm not so much into the pugilistic spirits or sports, but I have seen many people crowd into a house because they had a TV. And somebody talking about a TV that you could put on the wall, would have thought they're crazy. We would have wanted to usher them out. It's the imagination that we have that allows us to create, allows us to move forward, allows you to do the same. You say, okay, I know nothing about electronics. Learn is one way of accomplishing that. Another way is to find support. All of these work, but it is the genius of you coming up with the idea and pursuing it that is the most vital part of that idea. We see Thomas Edison get invention after invention, patent after patent. But he had people working for him, and he basically owned their patents. They were then registered in his name. What says that you can't do that? You may find it more compassionate to go into partnership with these people rather than taking everything that they've got, but that was the system that they had at the time. You can have things done. For example, I like to barbecue and smoke, and I have a unit on my wooden deck. Well, there is always the danger of ashes falling down and setting the deck on fire, the deck setting the house on fire, and me having no place to live. I needed a pan. I didn't see one. I had a neighbor that was well into metalwork. He made me one. Wasn't that expensive? And he made it. So here I am. I have what I need. And, you know, we have weather. It can fill up with water in a prolonged rain or even the snow, because I don't take it down. I use it all winter long. But if it's full of water, it's going to eventually rust. So what we did, we put some holes in it so that the water could drain out. You know, you improve things as time goes forward. And this is what we're talking about. This is how success is achieved. When we look at what people do, we think that an invention has to be something that we can hold in our hands. But as we look at George Washington Carver, his success was in helping other people. He had a Jessup wagon. What is a Jessup wagon? It's a wagon that was funded by Jessup, a person by the name of Jessup. And basically it was a portable laboratory and showcase. And he could take it around to different places and show what he was trying to teach them. Yeah, he could have set up a classroom, but it would be highly inconvenient for most farmers and others to get to him. So he took it to them. That was a novel idea in that time. We've now developed to a point where we can access books from libraries at the touch of a finger. We can do that because we can go online. I can look up books in the Schomburg. The Schomburg is a library that has extensive research on Black Americans. Now, the program is not only for people of color, because success is not measured by color. Success has no color. People can work together, and in many cases, they have done this. Men and women can work together. Look at Madame and Pierre Curie, husband and wife. They work together. Madame Curie holds Nobel Prizes in two different categories. She started out just the way that we did, going to kindergarten, going to school. Now, we have younger listeners, and I really, really like to encourage them because they are our future. They sometimes don't see that far ahead. We need to work as adults with our children, and sometimes they can inspire us. They can inspire us to greater things as we answer questions. Why? Why not? Why? Why not? This has led many people to finding success well beyond anything that they have ever imagined in their lives. We see people achieve goals that they want to achieve. I remember when I started college, I wanted nothing to do with the social sciences, nothing, because I didn't understand them. I didn't understand them with respect to me. I wanted something that behaved the way that I thought or that I could trace down and find out why it was acting this way. I drifted towards the natural sciences. I drifted towards chemistry. My wife stayed in the social sciences. And it was not until years later that I ever began to understand and appreciate what was taking place there. So we sometimes find direction somewhere else. And what I started out doing, I have a blog that's called Amazing Black History. I was convinced after working as a supervisor, after working in human resources, that people were capable of doing work well beyond what it showed on paper, well beyond what it showed on paper, because they could exceed. I've had people that I saw resumes and said, oh, my goodness, this is going to be the greatest person to ever walk the earth, only to be disappointed because they did not have that practical bent. They could not translate what they had in their head. They could teach it, but they couldn't do it. They could teach it, but they couldn't do it. Now, I have some people, on the other hand, that could do, may not be able to totally explain what was going on, but they were practical. These were the people that exceeded my expectation. My expectation should not be a factor in your success, with the exception that I hopefully can be a positive role model or give you a positive direction to go in to achieve your success. That's the purpose of this program. And I've seen so many people, so many talented people, fail to achieve what they wanted to achieve. I can't say that one thing is better than another. I can't say that shooting a rocket to the moon is better than a good piece of cherry pie, because I can really get into that. I can really enjoy it. I mean, I can sit down, if it were today for me to describe a scene, there would be a nice front porch on my house, and I would be able to sit on that porch, enjoy the breeze, look at the world as it moves around, watching birds fly around and all other squirrels and other animals rummaging around in nature. To me, that would be fantastic. To be able to sit in a place and look at a lake and watch the ducks and watch the geese and watch other birds as they come and go, fending for themselves, feeding themselves. These, to me, are ideas of success, of being able to do that, whether permanently or part-time. What do I mean by part-time? I mean taking vacations. Some of us like to travel. Some of us don't. Is one better than the other? No. If you don't like to travel, then traveling is not your idea of success. But if you enjoy it, then that's it. My ideal dream for many years was the fact of being able to go to the airport and say, I want a ticket. Where to? Where's the next plane going? And going there and getting whatever accommodations I want, whatever clothes I want, doing whatever I want at the time, because I'm free as a bird. I can do it. If I wanted to go out of the country, I can do it. To some people, they're asking the question, why do you want to do that? That's not your idea of success, and that's perfectly fine too. That's why we are going in different directions. I spoke some time back about a friend of Steve Harvey's who did not hang out with them because he had a lawn care business, and he said, I've got to get up in the morning and take care of these lawns. And many people did not understand him. I've heard Steve give this story a later update. He has a business that's pulling in $1 million a year or more, depending upon what time it is that you heard it. That was success to him. And I can see some benefits of that because he was doing what he wanted to. He was able to grow his business. And one of the problems that we have is not the ability to dream, but the ability to dream and believe in our dreams. We often dream too small. Yes, there are paths that we have to take. We don't suddenly take one step and we're in fantasy land. We're in Oz or somewhere else. That's not how it works. There is a price on each one that we go into. The price that we pay may be stiffer for some than it is for others. But when we look at it, it is worth price of admission. We charge a higher price to those that have more, that want more. But you are capable of doing what you're able to do. And that is expanding. I almost came to tears earlier last week when I saw a man who had been told that he was paralyzed after being shot, that he would never walk again. To him, success was getting his, I don't know whether it was a diploma or a degree, and it doesn't make one bit of difference, but he walked across that stage. That shows what determination can do. I'm not saying that everybody that's in a chair is going to get up and walk, but it certainly does not have to end your life. We find things as we become older and more accustomed to it. I have a grandson who inspires me greatly. All of my grandkids inspire me. But he had an accident, broke his back, and was paralyzed as a result of it. But he inspires me because he lives life. He doesn't live life as an invalid. He lives life on his terms. He works full time. He travels, and I wish that I could maintain his travel schedule. He was in California a month or so ago speaking for the Challenge Athlete Foundation. He's traveled to England. He's traveled to Asia. He's traveled around the world because he does not let it hold him back. Neither should you. When we look at people like Haben Girma is a graduate of law school, a practicing attorney, but she's deaf, so she can't hear. Many of us depend on our ears to get information into us, and if that isn't difficult enough, she's also blind. Many people would fold up like a blanket and sit on a chair somewhere and cry themselves to sleep every day. She doesn't do that. She understands that she has a handicap, something that slows her down, but not something to stop her. It does not stop her. Motivates people. One of the things that she did, she graduated from, I believe, Harvard Law School. She graduated from, I believe, Portland State, and she did both of those with honors, honors. And we have able-bodied people that just don't apply themselves. Not that they couldn't do the same, but that they don't apply themselves. We have to do that. We have to apply ourselves. Is it work? Yes. Tell me something else that's going to give you the satisfaction, that's going to give you the long-term pleasure that we're seeking without work. Tell me when visiting day is, because you're probably going to end up behind bars somewhere doing something illegal. But you can take pleasure in your accomplishment. You know, I talked about making pies. I remember a lady that would go to the farmer's market and sell pies that she baked at home. And she succeeded at this because she kept doing it. She would give samples. People would come back and buy a pie. Did everybody do it? No. Obviously. Some of them may have tasted a apple pie and they would have preferred peach. And one day they get hooked and they're looking at different things that she can bring to them. She got pleasure from making them. She got money from it too. A very substantial amount kept at it. I love going to the farmer's market because I see the people there. I see the joy on their faces as people purchase the produce, knowing that it is the freshest possible. Many times they get up early and pick the stuff the same day it's in the market. I didn't realize how long it takes some products to get to market. I had a friend who was a produce manager for a large chain of stores. He used to be able to know people nearby, purchase from them. But let's say in the case of corn, he couldn't do it anymore. The corn that is 10 miles from him had to be shipped to, I think it was California, and then from California back in order to make it on his shelves. Better way. And we waste so much food in this country. We are a country of waste. There are people who are going to become fabulously rich if they can find ways to deal with the waste. What we do now is we dig a hole and we dump it in there. It's not going anywhere because it's anaerobic. It can't get oxygen. It can't break itself down. If we could mine these garbage dumps, we'd have metal, we'd have organic fertilizers, we'd have many things that we could use instead of continuing to pollute our earth with these things. It just boggles my mind that we can sit down, watch TV, and drink beer after beer after beer after beer in an aluminum can, and then people have to go out and mine more and more when aluminum can be recycled. We sometimes are too lazy to do that. But we are going to have to eventually break down and find ways to utilize the products. I worked in the nuclear industry, and we shot ourselves in the foot because waste that was coming out of the plants, we put it into giant underground tanks. Some of them ruptured. They were eaten through by acids or whatever. We could have, for a little bit more money, reprocessed that and avoided polluting our earth. Sometimes we have to look ahead of things. I think about the times in football. In playing defense, I cannot run the same path that the ball carrier is carrying and expect to catch it. Most of them were too fast for me. I had to plot and intercept them on their way to the goal line or to the first down line or whatever it had to be. We use our mind. We use our mind to our advantage. This is what I'm trying to get over to you. You can start a business as simple as one that allows you to, for example, start a lawn business, turn it into a million-dollar enterprise. Almost anything that you do, you can do that with. When we look at garbage collection, Some people don't want to do it because it's dirty. I had a friend that started a honey wagon. This is where you pump sewers out, or pump septic tanks out. People don't want to do it. When you can find something that people don't want to do, and it has to be done, and you're willing to do it, you're sitting on a gold mine. A gold mine, I tell you. We look at the world. We match what we can do, what our interests are, and what people don't want to do but are willing to pay for. We can turn this stuff around. I am convinced that if we could collect all of the waste scrap food, that we could distill it and make cars, or use it as fuel for cars, which is less polluting than gasoline. We are trying to jump over that process, and many of us believe that electric is the only way to go. But there are other options. At one time, there used to be conversion to propane, other natural gases. When we digest or ferment this alcohol, and at one time, I want you to understand this. Henry Ford and George Washington Carver were good friends. Ford had a plantation, and Carver oversaw it. Now, when Carver got to the point where he could not or was having difficulty going from his apartment in Tuskegee from one floor to the other, Henry Ford said, send me a couple of my best engineers. And they sent them to Tuskegee to install an elevator for this man. But what they had come up with during the war, metal was hard to obtain. And George Washington Carver developed a plastic that could be used to make auto bodies. You could hit it with a sledgehammer and not damage it. The car was going to run on alcohol, a renewable fuel. Renewable. Understand that even the waste from the production of the alcohol is basically organic material and can be used further. When we look at civilizations such as the Olmecs, which is in central Mexico, we see these giant heads, 10 foot tall, sometimes weighing 50 tons, that these people moved 50 miles or more. They look like African statues and African heads. And in fact, there is information that shows that on at least one of these has a connection with Africa because it had seven grades. And as you study Africa and the civilizations and the religions there, you'll find that seven braids hold a significant value in the culture. I want to admit things that are taking place. When we look at Onesimus, a slave owned by Cotton Mather, who introduced to America the concept of vaccination. Cotton Mather talked a doctor into using this very crude method of vaccinating people. In smallpox in the 1700s, about 14 to 15 people out of 100 died when they got smallpox. Those that were inoculated, 2%. We are not willing to give credit to those people that deserve credit. And in this case, it is something as silly as skin color. We need everybody to be productive. The way to do this is to understand what we are capable of. If you go to the liquor stores now, you'll probably see a brand on the shelves that's coming out called Uncle Nearest, N-E-A-R-E-S-T. And it relates back to Nearest Green. His name, I believe, was Ernest, but I don't know how Nearest got in there. But he is the man that taught Jack Daniels to make whiskey. A black lady owns that distillery now in the 312 acres on which it was produced. and is producing that. We have a farmer that is producing vodka out of sweet potatoes, and I believe the brand name on that is Delta Dirt. You know, we can do it. When something drops out of the sky and you can't trace where it came from, it may have been Africa. But we cannot focus on that. The focus is on the fact that we have, and I'm talking about everybody. I'm not just talking about black people. I'm talking about everybody. Man, woman, young, old, heavy, underweight, disabled, not disabled, hearing, blind, deaf, can talk, sing, do whatever we can do. Everybody fits into this because God made us all. I don't want to get too far into this for fear of lightning striking, but I think God is very, very disappointed at us because we don't come up to our potential, each and every one of us. That is the name of the game, my friend, to develop as much of our potential as we can do it. Some people do it by singing, by entertaining. Some people do it by writing. You know, we've recently seen a firestorm develop over Amanda Gorman, who spoke at the presidential inauguration. And we are at a point where we are absolutely bug nuts crazy because one person raised a fuss in Florida, and we take it out from the children to which that poem is intended to inspire. Inspire. That's what we need to do. Those of us that are successful need to let people see that we are successful, no matter who we are. When we look at people like Ray Montague, for example, Ray Montague, at the age of 8, was taken by her uncle to see a German submarine that had been captured. She was able to look down from the outside, the periscope, into, for better terms, the cockpit, saw all these dials and fancy things, and said, what do you have to do in order to be involved in that? He said, be an engineer. She made great grades through high school, but there was no college in Arkansas that taught engineering to black students. Now, I'm not just talking to black students here because many of you have the same problem. I didn't realize it, but I had the same problem. I became a chemist. I didn't know about chemical engineering because I had not been around it. I was not able to comprehend that there was even such a thing. But when I went to work as a chemist in a laboratory supporting the reprocessing of nuclear fuels, where we were separating the plutonium from the uranium, from the neptunium, from the americium, and from the rare earths and the lanthanides and all of this, I began to understand the difference. We need to expose ourselves to more and more, more and more. And once we find one that we love, let's start traveling that path. Can it be difficult? Yes, obviously it can be. But we are on a path where we are seeking to discover our greatness, each one of us. The reason that I do this program is because I want you to understand that you have been blessed by God, whether you believe in God or not. Some supreme being has given you something that's unique that you have that other people don't. And I'll tell you why I believe that it comes from the universe, from a universal source, is I've seen more than one example where an idea reaches Earth at the same time, and people on opposite sides of the Earth are working on that idea. One of the worst feelings that you can have is to see a product come to fruition from an idea that you had where you sat down and did nothing. Nothing. A gift was given to you, more precious than gold. And we look at ideas. For example, it took me years. We come up to Christmas time, and I'm not sure why we chose winter for Christmas, because as this event is taking place, the shepherds are tending their flocks. They don't tend their flocks in the winter. They're inside because of the weather. But anyway, we have gifts coming, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Frankincense and myrrh were more valuable than the gold. We don't look it up. We don't study it. We don't question. We need to question. Where did frankincense and myrrh come from? North Africa. And yet and still, we can't convince ourselves of so much stuff. The importance is not that it came from that particular location. It is to me, but to most people, the fact is that we are overlooking value. We're overlooking value. We look at food sources, and there are many that are beyond our concept at the present time. We look at protein. There are other sources of protein besides cows and pigs and chickens and lambs and sheep and goats. But we have to understand that we have to take the effort and go forth with what we have. When I look at children in school, and I've done some substitute teaching, I see people full of promise that don't realize what they have. And one of the reasons, and I want you adults to listen to this as well, what we do is we need to do what has to be done before we do what we want to do. Understand me? When you're in school, do your homework. It makes for a less stressful tomorrow, because you're not running around that morning and all through school day trying to get your homework done for the next class coming up. It's done. You're more at peace. You're more able to comprehend what's going on around you. This is valuable stuff. A little bit of preparation goes a long, long way. And this is how we do it. When we have an idea that we want to process, we need to lay a firm foundation. Be clear about what we want to do. This is why we write down our goals. We write down, I'm at a loss for the term, an affirmation as to what we can do. On Facebook, I have a page called Amazing Black History, not AmazingBlackHistory.com, just Amazing Black History page. A few days ago, there is a video that shows a six-year-old boy who gets up before his brothers and sisters so that he can sit down and have his cup of tea and a chapter out of his book. I mean, he looks like a wise man. He's been on TV. You hear him. He sounds wise, and he is if he maintains this schedule. It's that important to him. We have to make what is important to us a part of our lives. If we fill up a jug with sand, we don't have room for rocks, the big things in our life. And I like this experiment. You take an aquarium. You fill it full of large rocks. Oh, it's full. Nothing else can go in it. You pour in smaller rocks. And what do? They fill in the empty spaces. You put in sand. And what does it do? It fills in even more of the empty spaces. This is beginning to look good. And then you would be surprised at the amount of water that you can put in those rocks and sand and everything else. We put in the large objects first, and this is what we need to do in life. put in the valuable things first. Put them in, and they will fit. We put other things in to fill the space. My friends, if you have children, or if you know children, make time for them. If they're going to be playing a big game, or in a play, or singing, or performing, or in a knowledge bowl or something, make time for it. Other things will fit around. And what the ultimate price of this, or what the ultimate benefit of this is that they begin to believe in themselves. They begin to believe in themselves, and it came from you. Now, we can do it individually, but as a collective, as a community, we need to reinforce each other. We need to do that. You'd be surprised at the world that we can live in if we would just do that instead of fighting each other. And sometimes this happens within our own family. People that you grew up with remembers the time you ran around with a pot on your head thinking it was a helmet and you were in outer space somewhere. Understand, you had imagination. Let that roll off of your back like water off of a duck's back. They don't know what you're capable of doing. I'll repeat that. They don't know what you're capable of. The sad part is in many cases, you don't know what you're capable of. But when you begin to get order in your life, you begin to see amazing things happen. We look at things such as a Stonehenge. Stonehenge, what's that? It's a collection of rocks. And we look at them, and the only thing that we are able to determine basically in looking at many of these natural features, they're not natural, man-made features, is that they're there for a purpose. It was to place, make order out of chaos. It gave us, it was a crude calendar, but it worked. It was a crude calendar, but it worked. The spring and fall solstices are prominent, and we can know when they are. And this gives us a handle on the weather, when to plant and when to harvest, when to do those things that are essential for life. When we look back at the Omaks, they were able to do sustainable farming and go for many, many years. We're now unraveling some of those. When we look at gardening, for example, I tried to do, or I'm doing an experiment this year with the three sisters. Three sisters. What in the world is that? Well, did the Olmecs preceded the Maya and the Inca, but they had a way of farming. They would plant corn, and corn is unique because it doesn't blow in the breeze. You have to take the seeds to where you want them planted. Many other things, the seeds are small and blow in the wind. Corn has to be deliberately taken to a place. They would plant the corn. A little bit later, when the corn was a few inches high, they would plant beans. The beans would climb the corn. And they planted squash, which was ground cover and kept the weeds out. So they were able to produce a lot of nutrition from small plots of land. And this, we haven't caught up with that yet. I'm trying it. But I'm doing a modified way because I had already planted my squash and I planted a different vine in the area. It's looking well, looking good. And we find that if we were to study these ancient people, they had knowledge beyond anything that we could fathom for them. For example, when we look and we remember 2012, people were predicting that the earth would end because the calendar from the Olmecs, the Mayas, and the Incas stopped. It didn't stop. It was the end of a cycle. They just had not put cycle in there. Their year is complex. It is based on two parts of a year, and one is about 5 days. We won't go into that. But they realized, and the reason that their clock or their calendar was straight on, is most people believe that a year was 365 and a quarter days. They knew thousands of years ago, 365 days, 5 hours, 49 minutes, and 12 seconds. And that's what they were relying on. Now, we sit here as if we're in a catbird seat somewhere, that we are the king of knowledge, as if we know it all. But these people knew things back then that we didn't. They had systems for moving water that marvel anything that we've got today. And we're talking about thousands of years ago. We put asunder those things that came before we did, as if we developed everything. No, we need to realize that there were people here. We need to decipher what they were doing. How can you move a 50-ton piece of sculptured rock 50 miles? There are people today that can't figure it out, but it can be done, and they did it. They didn't have 18-wheelers. They didn't have heavy cranes, or at least we don't think they did. As we go back and we can analyze what has taken place, we are able to amaze ourselves, not only that they did, but who the people were that did it, what they looked like. When we talk about Cheddar Man, for example, like the cheese, C-H-E-D-D-A-R, the Cheddar Man, who was the ancestor of the modern-day Europeans, because we have been able to follow genes and what they characteristics that they bring with them, we find out that he had dark hair, blue eyes, and dark skin, all 10,000 years ago. And yet we often put people down because of that skin color. Yeah. And even today you can find some dark people with blue eyes. Not very many, but you can find some. Straight hair, you can find it. Dark hair, you can find it. But we have to be able to dig and understand. Anthropology may not be your thing. I am into it because of the fact that I'm doing history. And many of these things run in parallel. They run in parallel. And one discovery leads to another. I am not, repeat, not going to laugh at you if your idea of success is to make a cookie that people like, or maybe a healthy. We are hooked on sugar. And we've been able to study skeletons and find out that people didn't have the tooth decay and the many other problems that come from the consumption of sugar. They understood things that we still don't know. That information, I believe, is in the universe. It's out there. Many of us have been touched with it. We've been touched with ideas. We've been touched with ideas that can change the world. But we said, me? If it could be done, it would already be done. So why are you giving me this information? Why? Why? Why me? God created you. Enough said. But he gave you what you needed. When we started back then, and we often overlook the source of the university system. When we look at Timbuktu, located in Africa, we find the earliest known universities. The early Greeks and Romans studied in Africa. And yet and still, we are allowing people to persuade us that anything that comes out of Africa is backwards. It's It's wrong. Not true, my friends, not true. And there is so much stuff that we need to understand here that I have not had time to share information about what we find in ancient Africa and other civilizations. Columbus was able to recognize the fact that the people in South and Central America had been trading with Africa before he got there. There are pyramids in the United States, and we fail to acknowledge them. What does that tell you, folks? It tells you that we are looking at things wrong. We allow people to tell us what we can and can't do. Is that what you want? If it is, more power to you. It ain't what I want. We have gone through quite a bit of information, and I want to, I did not do it because I get so excited when I get on the show, of giving you the call-in number, and I'll give that in case we have some additional people that want to comment or have questions or want to disagree with me about something. We can be adult about it. I'm not opposed to people disagreeing with me because I know I don't know everything, almost, but not quite. There may be one or two things. Anyway, we can talk about them. But many people sit around, even in school, and afraid to ask questions because they don't want people to know that they don't know. This is a program where I can learn based on what you know, and that makes it better for all of us. We have just a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that you're aware that following this program is another one by Deacon Armstrong, who is excellent in his presentation, and I think that you may find information there. Crown Talking Drums has programs most every day. Look at them. See what strikes your fancy and what doesn't. I do want to encourage you to tune in Sunday at 4 o'clock when we do Did You Know? We're going to be talking about some of the enemies of the United States that the United States has honored, but are now renaming. And I'm talking about military bases named after Confederate soldiers that are being renamed. And this is progress, in my opinion. I'll give you this number in case you don't get through today. Use it anytime you're listening to a program on Crown Talking Drums. You can use this Sunday at 4 o'clock. We're on from 4 to 5:30. It's a 90-minute program. This is a 60-minute program. And what the number, write it down, use it. I'm sure that most of the people that are on can see it. The difference is that when you are using the link on your phone, your device, or what have you, you can hear the program, but you can't call in because I can't see you on my dashboard. On my dashboard, I can open the mics and you have the opportunity to say something. I think I probably run a bit long because I want to give Deacon Armstrong a chance to set up his program that comes on at 8 Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific time. And that number is 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. Because it's so close to that time, I'm going to go ahead and sign out without opening the mics. But I promise next week that I'll do it before I get so excited running information to you. Because it's my intent to share information with you. Because the benefit that you provide to our earth also provides benefit to me and all of our listeners. Be sure to tune in, Brother Armstrong's program. In just a few minutes, I'll clear out so that he can sit up and bring his program on. The program you're listening to is Faith on the Road to Success. My name is John C. Abercrombie. Check out my blog site, AmazingBlackHistory.com. And on there is information on how to contact us and get in touch with us. Sunday, we post every week, and the program posted that week is usually the main topic for our Sunday discussion. Join us. I want you to be blessed, my friends, all of you who are listening either through phone or through a link. We bless you and hope that you'll find other programs that do the same. And with that, I'm going to sign off so Brother Armstrong can get his program on. I don't want to jam him up too bad. It's going to be an excellent program, I'm sure. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed. And this is Faith on the Road to Success. And I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. And I hope all of you have a blessed week. Thank you.